It is time once again for Wonder Pod, episode 139, coming to you from a Friday night, because none of us could be bothered to show up on Thursday. For those of you that are into routines, sorry. Maybe. As I just said 10 seconds ago, the only person I feel sorry for is Roger. There. Threw your name in the show, buddy. Joining me this week, as always, is John.
Hey, everybody.
And also joining us this week, I'm introducing him last because he's trapped in an elevator. It's Glacinator.
Hello, I'm actually coming to you from the depths of space itself. That's why it's so echoey. Actually, no, I'm just in a creepy stairwell, and I'm probably going to die after the show because both doors are locked, and I have no way to get out of here. So, nice knowing you all.
This is the second time. See, this I figured out here just what you were doing, your intro, why it's not bothering me. This is the second time you've done one from a stairwell, because remember you got kicked out of the supply closet by those girls that screamed live on our show last year during college?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And you had to disappear into a stairwell?
Yeah, and I was echoey then, too. I remember that.
And then there was the time you appeared on the roof.
Yes.
He's been all over that campus trying to do this show. And we love him for it, and I know the audience had better. Which one of you wants to go first, games we've been playing? Because as I told you before the show, I've got only one game to talk about. I'm going to be such a hit for the next couple weeks.
I have a bit to talk about. I have a whole new console to talk about.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. That's right. Whole new shiny sparkling console, which at least three game critics have said they really enjoy playing COD Black Ops 2 on. Yeah. What you fucking gonna do now, haters? I mean, I don't recall. Well, okay, I know who it was, but I'm not gonna mention any names. But let's just put it this way: three people who I did not think would ever like the Wii U this much like it. Well, now what do we think, fuckers? I tell you what, Glace, here's what we're going to do, John, because I completely brain farted that you have the Wii U. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go first, a rarity, but a change of pace is nice. I'm going to go first quickly because I don't have much to talk about. Glace, then you will go, and then John will give you the floor for as long as you'd like, including probably questions from Glacinator and me about the Wii U. So let's do it that way.
Sounds good.
That's right, folks. This isn't rehearsed. We don't talk about this shit before the show at all. And it ain't changing anytime soon. Okay, so what I've been playing is one game and one game only. And mind you, this is while I have The Walking Dead, the whole entire 5 EPs on PC, Torchlight on PC, Guild Wars 2 on PC, and I passed up getting Dishonored for $24 on a Black Friday sale. No, what I am playing is the same game I talked about last week. It's 10 years old, its graphics are crap, but it is so damn addictive. I'm playing Worm Online. Still, and I probably will be. It's the first time in 15 years that I have obsessed about a game in this manner. Now, I'm not talking like, you know, spend 15 hours in an internet cafe until you keel over and die obsessed. I'm talking still get up and go to work. You just really don't want to. Stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning playing a game, which you used to do all the time. And now that I'm an adult, I don't often. I would even say, and I'm sure that there might be some dispute about this, I would say it's hooked me even more than Minecraft did when I first found out about it in alpha. And I'll tell you why. Two really simple reasons. One, the sense of accomplishment and failure. And two, the sense of fear. Now, I'm not talking Resident Evil, Amnesia, Slenderman fear. I'm talking about literally most of the time you do not feel safe wandering around outside the walls of your home city, town, house, whatever the case may be. It is amazing to me that a game that, like Minecraft, is so sparse on what we consider important today, and yet has such an amazing experience to offer for people who want to put up with its quirks. And I'm serious. If you do ever decide to attempt this game, one, contact me and I'll give you a cheat sheet on how to survive the first 8 hours. Two, prepare to fail. And I'm not talking cheap, frustrating, lazy game designer fail. I'm just talking basically it. The learning curve is extremely steep. But to me, the satisfaction of what you get out of fighting that learning curve and learning new things, it was just probably starting yesterday that I really felt comfortable and really felt like I was set up to explore the world, set up to learn the skills. I have a horse and a boat now. I have some other things that are really kind of critical of the way this game works. And it took 7 days. But in my gaming life, it's probably some of the most satisfying 7 days I've ever had. In reality, while it's an MMO and there are people there, a lot of other people there, it's more like a good Sims or a good Second Life. You know, and by good, I mean not a bunch of freaking preteen garbage. And the community, hilariously enough, isn't that bad. You can actually talk in the global chat without having people give you 15 new names for your penis or 15 different ways to use it incorrectly. You know, overall, it's amazed and surprised me how into this game I've gotten. I'd say, and I know you guys get tired of hearing about it, I'd say Enslaved came close, but Enslaved is like a lot of other games. It had a beginning, middle, and end. This game doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. There is no end. It goes for as long as you want to play by its rules. So there you go. I'm going to stop babbling about it. And probably for the next 2 weeks or till the end of our show season or our podcast season, I'll probably just go play Worm Online. I'll play those other games later. And so there you have it. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week besides survive in a stairwell?
Well, this is the week before exams, so I really haven't had that much time for games. And the games that I have been playing, I've just been playing more PlayStation All-Stars, which I talked about last week. I don't really have anything else new to say necessarily about the game itself. I mean, just that I've been having more and more fun with it the better I get at it. I'm still pretty bad. My roommate beats me all the time with Sackboy, and I'm tended to lean towards playing as Sir Daniel, which is like the skeleton guy with a shield. It's a lot of fun. It's the most fun that I've had on the same screen since probably Hydro Thunder, which was also split screen. So I mean, it's really nice just to have a game that you can play with your friends in the room, and there really aren't enough games like that anymore. I mean, I know Halo does have some split screen. I mean, it's all split screen, but it's not the same as, you know, a nice, silly, fun game to play with your friends. And this isn't something I've been playing, but I feel like it's relevant and I should talk about it. But last Friday, for Black Friday, I couldn't contain myself, and I ended up buying the PS Vita Assassin's Creed bundle off of Amazon. And before everyone goes crazy and says, oh my gosh, did Glazier just buy a Sony system? Let me explain. I'm still surprised myself that I even went through with it and bought it. So I didn't expect that I was going to do it in the first place, but I feel like I'm going to like it. It hasn't come in yet. I mean, because I'm back at school, not home, so I have to go wait until next week when I go home where I can open it up. Like I said, I got the Assassin's Creed bundle, so I'm looking forward to playing the game with the assassin that's a girl set in New Orleans. So I'm probably gonna have a lot of fun with that, I hope. I think the reviews are mixed, but I think I should be able to look past most of the flaws just because I like the franchise so much. Also, the bundle came with 3 months of PlayStation Plus, which I'm looking forward to using, and it also came with PlayStation All-Stars for the Vita. So, I mean, my roommate has PlayStation All-Stars already for the PS3, but now that it's on the Vita, I can play PlayStation Ultras on the Vita against him on the PS3, even though, you know, we'll be away for break. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, my 3DS is a lot of fun, but their Nintendo really hasn't put out any games for it this year that I can think. I mean, they put out New Super Mario Brothers, and other than that, that's the only thing I can really think of that wasn't necessarily a remake. So hopefully next week I'll have more to talk to you about it. But right now I'm just sort of worried and excited at the same time about this purchase. So that's what I've been playing and not playing.
Well, that's the problem, though. The Vita, outside of PlayStation All-Stars, the Assassin's Creed thing, or the Assassin's Creed game, and a couple others, it's about in the same boat as Nintendo. It's got six games total that are worth playing, plus the PS Store. Do you know about the game Save Corruption bug? If not, read up on it before you play Assassin's Creed. Supposedly, ooh, Sony's supposed to have it patched.
Okay.
But the Vita version, and while John's gushing about the Wii U, I could probably pull up some actual factual news on it. Not that I personally care. but anyways, read up on it, because there was, I saw in my RSS reader, there was some kind of corrupted save game file bug, and Sony was working hard, you know, in quotes, to figure out what was wrong with it. You know, you bring up a good point, and it may become a future topic on the show. There is a big difference, even though they're both fun, there is a big difference between playing something like Smash Brothers, PlayStation All-Stars, Hydro Thunder, and us playing Halo or Battlefield or something like that. It is two different types of group experience, isn't it?
I mean, I can't jokingly punch you guys in the shoulder when you kill me, you know, so... Or, like, mess up your control and throw it across the room, or just, you know, random stuff that can happen.
Even when you're playing it on... Well, yeah, I guess you're... Yeah, it is really the group in the room experience on split screen, hip-checking each other and all this, that, the other thing. Okay, so now... And it's tempting to give you a bunch of shit because your willpower was even worse than Patrick's. And yet, I like you enough, buddy, that I'm not going to. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how this segment goes. I was slightly surprised to see a very grinning and mugging John on my Facebook page with a Wii U box.
Yeah.
But please tell us how your first, what has it been, 4 days, 4 days, 5 days with the Wii U has been?
It was last, geez, I don't even remember what day it was now. It was, I think it might have been Saturday, I think, or maybe Sunday.
It was the weekend, because I remember your lovely wife saying that, well, I was going to buy it for you for Christmas, but he just couldn't wait.
Yeah, I really wasn't going to buy one at launch. And, you know, true to my word, I didn't buy one launch day.
The rationalization there is awesome. But it wasn't launch day, but it was real close to it.
Well, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of pretty good word about the Wii U online from various reviewers.
Amazingly, and I'm happy to see it, because it means it's a healthy Nintendo console. How healthy, how long it'll last when the other two finally fire off?
Well, those are the big questions, eh?
Yep.
But let's treat this as, you know, system in my hand, you know, what do I think? So, I will just give you one more little story, finish the story about how I actually came about getting one. Because I honestly hadn't been actively pursuing a Wii. I mean, a Wii U. I was looking around, like, if I happened to be in a store, I'd have a glance over at the section and see. And I was at the mall last weekend. We were there for it was a Saturday, because it was we got Peter's photo taken with Santa Claus at the mall, in between waiting for the photo to be printed off and the DVD burnt, Wanda went on with Peter. And as I walked up to meet them, I stopped into the EB Games in the mall. And I just happened to ask, you know, the question, you know, so are they all still sold out? And I had a friend who worked there, and, you know, she did me a solid and checked that out at a different location and said, yeah, they got one if you want it. And so I said, okay. And so I went over there and picked it up, and the rest is history. But yeah, the Wii U. So I have been enjoying it a lot. I've really been enjoying the feature of being able to play on the touchpad screen. I'm trying to think about how I should approach this discussion of it. Should I just go from? I don't want to jump right into the games because talking about the interface and some of the hoops you have to jump through are worth mentioning.
Yeah, talk about the system itself first, I guess.
All right. Well, the system itself, it's about as big as the Wii, though it's a little bit longer. It's the I mean, the real story is the gamepad, because the Wii itself is just it's just a black. I did get the deluxe version. I got the 32 gigabyte memory and all that stuff. I don't know why anybody would want the white one with the small memory, but that being said, I got the one I wanted. The gamepad is it's not as big as an iPad, but it's certainly not as wide, but it's probably as long. I had a picture that I took and I sent to Roger just to compare them all with my other controllers, and it didn't seem as big to him as he pictured it would be. But it fits nice in your hands. It's very comfortable. The screen is really, really good, especially when you are playing. The games I got were Nintendo Land, which was a pack-in, and I also got New Super Mario Bros. U, because I'm still very interested in playing Zombie U, but I knew for a fact that I would like the new Mario game, and especially where I've heard that it's gotten a lot of comparisons to Mario World, which is my favorite one. I decided to get that. Anyway, back to the system. The interface is interesting. On the touch screen, well, you can flip them back and forth, but on the touch screen, you have your Wii channels, kind of like what the Wii menu was like before. And on the screen, what you see is a pile of me. And you've probably seen screenshots of this before, but it's just like hundreds of other people's Miis in groups, and each group represents people playing a particular game out in the ether, and so above them will be an icon for Batman Arkham Asylum, another one will be Mario Brothers U, another one will be Zombie U, and if you zoom in on each one of those groups, you get to see the comments that people are making via the Miiverse, which I'll get into in a second. And what is cool, like you see these sort of like what's that on the 3DS, the thing where you send the pictures back and forth. What's that called again? Help me out again.
Note swap or PictoChat?
Yeah, it's kind of like a PictoChat, and it saves that you can save a picture and post a picture, so you get these little like scratched out pictures that people have drawn, and some of them are in pretty amazing detail, to be honest, that they can squeeze into these little tiny squares. But it's really cool, and because the way the Miiverse works, and as I've learned. Through using it, it's very much as Penny Arcade made a comic about it. It's gamers talking about games, and so there's it's almost like a forum page where you have every game that comes out on the Wii will have its own community page, and in that you get to see the comments, almost like a Twitter feed of what people are saying about a particular game. They're asking for advice, and you can post a snapshot of the game you're playing. So I've seen a lot of like there was a pretty funny one in the Zombie U community where there was a toilet, and in the toilet were some rounds, right? And so the question was, should I or shouldn't I reach into this toilet to get the rounds? Oh, it's so gross, that kind of stuff. And so it's all squeaky clean. It's all heavily moderated, from what I understand. So there's no, I have I've yet to see one dick picture up there, as I've heard people comment, because it's definitely sparse compared to what we were doing with the 3DS one time on the show. But yeah, it's really cool the way they have it all organized and allow you to interact with other people playing the same games. So that's really cool, and you can send and adding add friends kind of it, so it add friends, you send messages, all that stuff. You get notifications. It's very similar to a social media site, but like kind of just the bare bones of one, and it's really neat because I'm playing New Super Mario Bros. U, and if you may do certain things like you finish a level without taking any damage, well, it says congratulations, you did that. Would you like to make a comment about how or leave a tip or a some advice to the to other players about how you did that? And so you can leave this 140 character note on that level, And it seems pretty random when you see it on the screen. Because, like for example, Mario Brothers U has an overworld map, just like Mario Brothers U has an overworld map, like in Mario World. And in each dot for each level, there's, you know, sometimes you see a little a face, a Mii face with a little balloon. And if you, you know, activate the balloon, you see what they have said. So they might have an advice. You might say something stupid or whatever it might be. But it's just a cool extra level of interactivity. And I'm not sure if that's going to wear off of how cool it is. But for now, like I'm jotting down like quotes from movies and shows. Like, for example, I played this one level, and I got through very quickly, and it requires a lot of jumps and stuff. And so, you know, do you want to make some advice on how you got through it so quickly? And I wrote down, be as light as a, weigh as much as a slice of bread, which is a quote from the Fantastic Mr. Fox. And people can like that or give it not really a like, but what they call a yeah. So it's pretty cool. So the Miiverse is pretty cool. The eShop, which is an interesting thing, we've talked about how good is your eShop going to be. It's very comparable to the 3DS shop. It's easily navigatable, unlike the Wii shop was. It's pretty easy to find your games. There's a ton of retail games that are available for full download. So I, you know, if I don't want to leave the house, I could download Zombie U sometime. Ninja Gaiden, Batman, it's all here. I'm not sure if it's every game that's out currently from the launch, but it's certainly there's definitely at least 10 here, and I think there was only like 20 or 15 or 20 games at the launch. So, and there's videos and previews. So it's all really cool how it's all organized. Much, much better. And it's all like bright pictures and big icons. And it's good. I will say one thing about the interface and getting things set up. There are a lot of menus and surprisingly hidden ones. Like, for example, on the main screen, on the channels, you have your channels for each of the programs, but then you have an icon at the bottom for the Miiverse shop, internet browser, that kind of stuff. But if you press the home button, you get some of the same ones, but you get a couple of different ones too. Like that is where your friend list is hidden, which is kind of strange, and your controller settings, and all these kinds of little things that, you know, like where, you know, you kind of say to yourself, where the heck is all this stuff? And it's, you know, there it is, hidden away, tucked away a little bit, which is good to keep things, the interface simple on the surface, but it makes you hunt for things a little bit more. So it's a little bit wonky that way, but it's not terrible. And so I also did, I transferred all my game saves and WiiWare and Virtual Console games from my Wii to my Wii U. And the process on the surface is very straightforward. If you don't, especially if you don't have a lot of Virtual Console and WiiWare games. Now, I have a bunch to the point where I was using an SD card to expand my memory and use the SD card channel on my Wii to get at those games, which is fine. But when you transfer from the Wii to the Wii U, I should back up a little bit. There is a Wii channel button on the Wii main menu, and when you hit that, the Wii U, much like the original Wii became a GameCube, the Wii U becomes a Wii, and like right from the interface, you can't use the gamepad anymore. You have to use the Wii remotes, and it literally becomes a Wii, and which is fine in a certain respect, but and at least you can jump back to the Wii without having to shut the system down. What that means is when it becomes a Wii, all the little things that were kind of annoying about the Wii come back. For example, the memory. So when I did my transfer from all my WiiWare games and all my Virtual Console games, all that, you know, I put everything that I could from the SD card onto the main memory. Use a second SD card. This could sound really a lot more complicated than I need to make it, but so you have an SD card that transfers from the Wii to the Wii U. So I've And that's from the main memory onto the card and onto the Wii U. So I tried to put everything that I could on the main memory of the Wii and transfer it to the Wii U, and whatever games that were left over that I didn't have enough space for on the main Wii memory, I would re-download. Okay? So, and that's all fine. That's kind of what you have to do, no problem. But the thing is, on the Wii U, in the Wii channel, the memory is the same as on the Wii, the allotted memory. So you only get about 2,100 blocks of memory on the original Wii. Well, that's how many you get on the Wii U for the Wii as well. Even though I have 32 gigs of memory for the Wii U, I still am limited to the same memory that the Wii had for my Wii games. So then I had to re-download and then re-transfer games onto my other SD card and plug that into the Wii U to get them in order to play them in the Wii channel. And that sounds really confusing, but the bottom line is I still don't understand why they couldn't have expanded the Wii channel memory to accommodate whatever virtual console games I might have. Unless they're assuming that most people don't have hardly any of them. But for me, as someone who had a bunch, it was really annoying to have to retransfer and use it. And now I have my SD card slot tied up just to play them on the Wii. So that was a bit annoying, but I
Wait,
guess
is it's SD or USB?
this SD card.
Oh, okay. No.
Are USB ports on the Wii U, but for this transfer you had to use an SD card.
Okay, I wanted to double check. I'm prepping some other stuff and I'm listening, but I just wanted to double check, make sure it wasn't USB. To be quite honest, that explanation makes sense. And actually, as cheap as SD cards are, I'd rather keep my Wii. I don't have any Wii Virtual Console stuff, but I'd rather keep them separate. Keep the 32 gig. I think their thinking is keep the 32 gig for Wii U games that you're playing. Keep the SD card, and hopefully, as the console's life cycle goes on, USB for Wii U Virtual Console stuff.
Yeah,
It kind of makes sense. It sounds like it's a bit of a nuisance, but it actually kind of makes sense in one respect.
it does raise some questions because right now, the way that the system is, I can't play my virtual console games, quote unquote, on my Wii U. I have to go into the Wii channel exclusively to play them. And on the eShop, right now, none of those virtual console channel titles are available. You have to go into the Wii channel, select the Wii shop, and get it from there. So there's a separate Wii. The Wii shop still exists for WiiWare and virtual console titles. So it's all there, but it's kind of confusing how to get there. You know what I mean? Is menus and things buried underneath other menus?
I
You know.
may, well, it's just like the Xbox 360 dashboard anymore, but I may be the only one that is going to say this or feel this way, but I kind of like that. The eShop's newer stuff, leave that over there. The Wii virtual console stuff is older stuff, and as we've all talked about, damn near every episode of the 139 we've done, not the greatest quality. So, kind of segmenting it, I kind of like that. I'm kind of digging it. It probably takes you a minute to get used to it, but I bet once you're used to it, it's all right. Like I said, I may be the only human on planet Earth that ends up saying that, and once I have one, I may change my mind. I am human. I do have the right to change my mind occasionally, but I it in my weird brain, it kind of has a sense and it kind of has a symmetry to it. Keep the old with the old, and who knows? We may see other channels. And no, I have nothing to back this up, but it makes me wonder if maybe at some point we won't see a GameCube channel or an N64 channel, or you see what I'm saying? The way
Ooh.
they have the, yeah, think about that for a
I like
second.
that.
Well, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that if the virtual console goes on to the Wii U shop, what you're going to see is GameCube, like full GameCube titles available for download. Like, you know what I mean? Like
And
you.
it'll be sold American for me, because then I can catch up. No more, if they do it and they price it right, no more not emulators, no more garbage clogging up my PC, or believe it or not, my smartphones. and Doom, boom, done deal.
Because as we've said, I think Nintendo is getting on board with the online shopping experience. You know, like, why else would they have all so many games, you know, full Wii U games available there if they weren't? And even the indie, there aren't a lot of quote unquote independent games. Like, there's Trine 2 and a couple other ones there, but there's a very large section that, like, it's the second option, indie games. It's called that, right? And so that's going to be where your WiiWare type stuff is going to show up.
Well, and I'm telling you right now, my mind has changed from potentially a PS3 console and for sure a tablet for my own uses, to I may just put all my pesos together and get a goddamn Wii U this Christmas. and partially from what you've said here, but partially already, because I feel a level of vindication, not against you two, because looking at the specs for that tablet controller, my instincts and my brain told me it's not that big. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And you guys expressed concerns. Other people went above and beyond that and acted extremely stupid. And I'm just talking gamers, gamerdom in general, both industry and non. I just had this sense that Nintendo was onto something. And I have yet, but I admit up front, I haven't gone digging real deep. I have yet to see anybody bitch about that controller. And it just makes me want it more. I mean, I don't know, again, how they're going to do when the other two drop theirs. But I'm the Miiverse, the most, it tells me Nintendo studied very hard what social media is. And again, the nice thing about it, and something that's been rattling around in my brain for months, social media, you get out of it what you put into it. So you could probably literally ignore the Miiverse outside of your 10 to 100 friends. Although, like, a couple people have mentioned, I saw one video about it tonight before the show. The 100 friend cap in friends list needs to be gone. I mean, I have barely 30 people on my Xbox Live, or 34 people on my Xbox Live list. I'm the most antisocial bastard in the face of the planet. But still, if you actually have friends, the 100 let cap is ridiculous. You know, and apparently they've done it with a Wii U too. But I'm happy to hear you like the tablet controller, because you expressed concerns. Glacinator expressed concerns. I was worried, but after seeing pictures of it and being able to study them pretty close, I wasn't super concerned. So anyway, good, sir.
Sure. I mean, as far as the back to the tablet, like, it's very comfortable. There's some nice little grips and places for you to lay your fingers, like right where the trigger buttons are. There's this little ridge that my middle finger slides into, and it supports it very, very well. It's a little difficult to hold the controller and do a lot of stuff on the touchscreen, but, you know, luckily so far in my experience, I haven't had to use it so much.
Do you find yourself putting it in your lap?
I find myself resting my hands on my lap, and then and then if I needed to touch it, kind of like that, I let go of my right hand and kind of rest that corner on my leg and go ahead.
Because it was just so awkward in the demo kiosk at GameStop, having to stand up with it. I mean, I guess sitting down with it makes it a lot easier.
It does make it easier. Though I when you were talking about it being tethered on, I could see that being an issue and a little constrictive, because you can't really put it where you want so much. But yeah, it's not too bad. There's actually a space underneath the D-pad and underneath the buttons. There's enough of a spot for, like, the meaty part of your thumb to rest and pinch with your fingers behind it, so that you can kind of get a good grip. Like, it's a really good little design that they've done here. Ergonomically, I think.
I think this is going to be the WonderPod 2013 challenge, or what, let's say WonderPod Online. Let's add the whole crew. Which one of us ends up with it last? It's looking right now like Glacinator, like my grumpy, I buy shit when I get damn good and ready to buy shit and don't care what anybody thinks. You know, because I am that way. I love technology, but on my terms. I'll adapt to shit when I goddamn well want to. Just ask the smartphone companies. They just finally got me to buy one last year. I think Glazenator's going to be the last man standing. I don't think it's going to be me for fucking once, which would be nice. Although, yeah. I don't know. I might get screwed by that because he bought a Vita. I know he struggled. Yeah. I'm sure he sat in his dorm room at night sweating as he was trying to go to sleep going, I can't buy a Sony product, but he did it. So, actually, both of you guys' news hit at the same time, and I went, I'm obsessed with an online game. I'm not going to make fun of either of them. I'm going to be nice to them because they show up on my show on the show every week. So, but it was hilarious to me to see both of you, you know, you with your picture and Glacier with his post. It's like, oh God, we are the most, and I include myself in this. I wasn't making fun of you. I thought we are the most, we are people with no willpower. We just can't fucking help ourselves.
Yeah, like I said on my picture, my resolve, my willpower is about as strong as a house of cards. So, yeah.
I don't blame you though. I sincerely think, and of course, if we have any kind of archivist people who like to dig up shit to make other people look like an idiot that listen to the show, I defended the Wii the minute I got back to internet land and played with the Wii a little bit. And realized what it was. I defended it on my old Destructoid community blog. Wrote 1,000 words on it. And said, you know what? And so I think secretly, or maybe not even secretly, I really kind of am going to root for the Wii U again. But this time I'll probably buy one a lot faster than I did the Wii. And that actually leads me to a question I wanted to ask you, John. Does this feel more like a console for you? Like our Wii has bounced from house to house to house. My sister and I bought it together because neither of us wanted to pay the full price at the time. So we're like, yeah, we'll go in halves. But it's like literally become the party console. It bounces from house to house to house. I don't see that happening if I get a Wii U. I don't see splitting the cost with anyone, and I don't see myself loaning it out.
Yeah. Well, I to be honest, to answer that question, I think I'm going to have to take another week because the other game that I did mention I got was Nintendo Land, and I really haven't had much opportunity to play that game in terms of the multiplayer, or at all at this point, to be honest. Like Nintendo Land is divided up in, I think, to about a dozen, I won't call them mini games, but they're, you know, 12 games in the one thing. A third of them are single player, a third of them are competitive multiplayer, and a third of them are cooperative. And while you know, you can still play single player on them as well, but you know, the point is to play them multiplayer because they're, you know, they're apparently they really shine. So I've said to Roger, if he comes over to check it out sometime this weekend or during the week or something, he should bring his Wii controllers. And because I have two, and if he has another two, then we can have a few bodies over and really give the multiplayer and that fun factor, that party, see if it is a party system worth you know, that side of it, you know. But right now, like the other night, you know, the playing on the controller is working beautifully. Like there's no lag at all that I can detect anyway. So Wanda was watching Netflix on the Xbox while I played Mario Brothers on my, you know, console Mario Brothers on the gamepad. So yeah, I can't complain about that at all, you know. And what's really cool about the, you know, one of the small features, I guess, is that, you know, the gamepad, it works as a universal remote because I set it up, I programmed it in, you know, it's pretty easy to program. And, you know, from my Samsung television with my cable box, you know, you just put in the brands and you try a few different signals and boom. So I can go right to my couch and pick up the Wii U gamepad, turn on my TV, turn on my Wii U, I should say. And, you know, I can, you know, browse a few channels on the television, switch my inputs back over to the Wii U, play some Wii U. And then with a flick of a couple of buttons on the gamepad, everything turns off, and I can, you know, without having to touch, you know, any other remote other than my gamepad. So that's a pretty cool feature as well. So, you know, as a single player console, so far, just based on really one game and a little bit of another, I've been pretty happy with it. And if the pile of shame wasn't so big, I'd probably be trying, you know, buying a couple more games to try some more things on. Because, yeah, again, especially Zombie U. But for now, you know, I'm pretty satisfied.
Well, it sounds like Zombie U. Here's the funny thing. Here's the thing that made me go, hmm. And we may have talked about this last week. Ben Kachura of the Penny Arcade Report, their gaming news arm, let's call it, said that, you know, he was playing New Super Mario U or whatever they're calling it on the big TV, and his kids wanted to watch television. So he turned it on, turned it back to TV, plugged in headphones to the tablet controller, and continued playing his game on the tablet controller while his kids watched TV. That right there in and of itself, as simple as it is a smart damn thing to me. So I'm looking very much forward to what other functionality they add to that. And overall, it's just going to be interesting. It's tempting me more and more as we go along.
Yeah, I am interested to see where or what Nintendo offers on the other side of the launch. Like I logged on to the eShop today, very excited actually to see what they updated on the eShop yesterday, and from what I can tell, it was a big fat nothing. So I was really hoping that, you know, they would be on the ball and each week would have a new game to focus on. But from what I can see at the moment, it's still the same stuff from last week.
Well, I'm going to take the wait and see attitude I did in the early days of the virtual console. You know, there will come a time, and we did the original mob that did this podcast, me, Pat, and Gunsage. We gave them about a month, and then we were unmerciful to them. I mean, and that's the thing. I think in total, in this kind of format or written or whatever, professional or not, journalist degree or not, I think we don't wait long enough before we drop the guillotine. I personally prefer to try and wait as long as possible, but still be able to get my licks in because that is fun. So I'm going to say end of January is where I'm kind of maybe early February. So get through the holidays, because if Nintendo learned anything from last time, they're probably fully realized that the hype for the machine itself and the handful of games is going to carry them at least through Christmas and probably part of January. So we'll have to see. We will revisit that, though, John. I have no doubt. Anything else, or can we...
I think I've talked long enough. I think next week I'll probably get into the actual games themselves a little bit more, and less so on the hardware and the menus and the firmware.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. So that's what we've been playing, plus what we've been buying, which in my case is nothing. I'm the winner because I spent. That's true. I am the wiener. I take that back. I did spend $7 in Worm Online, but I think I'm $172 better than Glacinator and several hundred Canadian better than John, depending on the current rate of exchange. How much is the deluxe?
$350.
Really?
Same thing here as it is there. Yeah.
That's By the way, the Vita bundle is only $150.
I thought it was $179.
It was $150.
Oh, that's where my math went wrong. Sorry, I thought it was $179. Sorry, for some reason, my apologies. That's actually a really good fucking deal than $150.
Yeah, that was a wicked deal.
I don't know why $29 less all of a sudden makes it even better. It's a good deal. It was a good deal at $179. Maybe I saw it regular price for $179 or $200. I don't know. Who fucking knows? Let's move on. Speaking of console launches and game launches, I think we maybe covered this before, but I want to bring it up again. There was some controversy, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going on record as saying, self-created or dug very deeply yet thinly to be created controversy over Halo 4 and Doritos and Mountain Dew. Now, for myself personally, game advertising or in-game adverts or any of that stuff has zero effect on me. It's also why we never covered the Booth Babe disaster, because none of that crap has any effect on me either. I've been to plenty of trade shows. It don't matter. But I'm curious, two things, since Doritos and Mountain Dew, and they made a mobile game where you had to scan stuff at 7-Eleven, and it got a bunch of Nancy's freaking shorts in an uproar. Some rightfully so, some not. Glacier, let's start with your soon-to-be-starved-to-death ass. Does game advertising like the hoopla surrounding Halo 4, or for that matter, Black Ops or whichever, does it have any effect on you? And second to that, is it getting too much now, or are we pretty much at the same and people are just finding new things to bitch at?
It's never really gotten to me so much that it forced me to go out and buy a game. I'm pretty good at ignoring overhype. When I was younger, that was a different story, but I think now when I have to deal with more of my own money, I'm pretty conservative with what I get, and I can see through the mist of advertising that is out there. But like I was saying, when I was younger, though, I fell for a lot of things. I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's still a little bit gaming related. But I remember when Pokemon was really big, and Burger King and Pokemon had like this deal where you'd get a kid's meal and you'd get a Pokemon card. I think I ate at Burger King 30 times in like 2 weeks. It was really bad. So, I mean, I think it might be something that comes with maturity in terms of trying to decide what do you really want versus what you really need. What was your other question?
Shit, the mute button's not as fast in the little tab when I got my browser open. Sorry about that. The second thing is, let's just use Halo as a specific example. Has it this whole hoopla marketing with corporate partners really gotten worse, or are people just becoming more sensitive Nancy's? Because Master Chief was chugging Mountain Dew during Halo 3, if I recall correctly.
I think it may have been increased a little bit since social media has, you know, gotten popular. But I don't think it's not to the point where it's like extremely annoying or anything. So I think both the social media aspect of it, as well as people just being more sensitive as well, has increased at the same time. So really, I guess you could say it's about the same.
You guys want to know the ultimate definition of irony? I have Facebook open at the moment. And on my sponsored ads, thank you very much, Facebook, stock going down must suck. The second thing I'm asked if I'd like to like after TomTom GPS is fucking Doritos.
I have Doritos, then Wreck-It Ralph, and then Best Buy.
I know we all have friends that click like on those things, and I don't get it. I'm not going to tell you what snack foods I'm eating on Facebook. Sorry. John, does this kind of mass marketing / maybe corporate patty cake type crap get to you? Is it a maturity factor to you like it is to Glacinator?
I can't say that I'm really bothered by it because it makes sense. I mean, the gaming industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. You know, just like the movies, you know, the big films getting tie-ins, you know, collector cups and all that stuff. It makes sense that they'd want to, you know, get in on that stuff with video games, especially in the last, you know, several years where there's so much money to be made, especially on the big titles like Halo. So it's not surprising. It's a little disappointing in that, you know, it kind of, you know, pulls back the layer of, you know, video games are something that are that I I know are cool, but and not every, and, it's, and it felt and maybe feels like not everybody else knows except for the people other people who play, and you know, that's always a cool little thing to have to yourself if you want. But you know, once your game goes, you know, mainstream with this kind of, you know, merchandise tie-ins and you know, food tie-ins, you're there. You're mainstream at that point.
That actually brings up a really interesting point, because I saw that complaining. Sorry, I ran over my headset cord and I'm fumbling and fighting while I'm talking. I saw that bitching and complaining that they've somehow sullied the quality of the game. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, really? Are you sitting there in a wood-paneled room sipping cognac with a $60 cigar while you're saying this, you complete and utter douchebags?
The purity of the narrative and the gameplay has been compromised by corporate structure.
Yeah, exactly. You know what those people remind me of? I'm going to tell you what those people remind me of. They remind me of the rabble, rabble, rabble townspeople during South Park. That's all they are, is bad. I mean, it's just like fucking hell. Can't you know what I think they are? And Glazenator maybe can chime in on this. I think they're out-of-work art teachers. I think that's what it is. They're out-of-work art teachers who have nothing to critique, so they just go batshit bananas when anything that might have been sullied. Yeah, because we all know that Master Chief and the Halo universe is the highest form of fucking art, right up there with Picasso and Da Vinci. Let's not get into the games or art discussion. No, let's stay with marketing. Fucking Christ.
I'll save you from that. I won't say anything.
Well, no, because apparently it's kind of fluffed up again, and by fluffed, I really mean fluff, not kicked up, not stirred up. It's apparently some other jackass is whining about it now. I was so disinterested, I didn't pay attention whether it was pro or con. I saw it and went, oh, fuck off. The secondary question, John, has it gotten worse to you? And actually, your point of view might be interesting, because you don't play Halo, so you're kind of outside that realm. I was sort of too this time, but I do play those games on occasion.
Yeah, I won't say... I can't use the word worse. It's kind of like what I was saying. I'm not surprised that it's more prominent now, and I've been surprised that it hasn't taken hold a lot more, because I still think that the mainstream marketing side of things is not really sure what to do with games other than put them on the side of the box and say, hey, it's a tie-in, and give us some money. You know, the movies are a little more. Are already a little more mainstream, you know what I mean? But yeah, worse versus more is the word I'm wondering, right?
Well, worse.
It is definitely more, but it doesn't annoy me more in a negative way, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. I never thought of it, but you bring up a very interesting and extremely valid point. This kind of tie-in advertising is a sign of more mainstream, which a lot of people, bet you a lot of those same ones who are bitching about it, are clamoring for out the other side of their mouth. Now, what do you want? Do you want it to stay a niche hobby, or do you want it to be mature and taken seriously in the mainstream? I think with a lot of this, and I'm not going to bore you to death with the backstory, I'm just going to say two things to the games journos at large. One, be careful what you say, and then two, own it. And three, I feel sorry for Jeff Knightley, the poor fucking bastard. There, audience, you can go do some homework if you don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm not getting into it. We didn't touch it 3 weeks ago. It's getting a discussion topic, and then we're hauling ass. but I think I think it's a byproduct of things becoming more mainstream. Glazenator, wasn't it? You were the one that said Pokemon had a tie-in at Burger King, right?
Mm-hmm.
John, do you recall, or maybe I'm just older than you enough, I seem to recall begging to be taken to Burger King to get actual honest-to-God Return of the Jedi glasses.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
I think the final one broke, sadly, because we used them, of course. You know, there was no collector stuff back then. I think the last one broke. Yeah, it's been a while now. But so, to a certain extent, maybe John's come about or come up with it in this discussion, and that's why we have these kind of things, people. That maybe it's just a sign of the games industry slowly becoming more mainstream and slowly becoming more accepted mainstream. As much as I think Conan O'Brien's a git, and I hate his game segments, it's kind of, again, as much as I dislike him, or at least his shtick on TV, his doing that with things like Minecraft and Hitman Absolution, and there's been a couple others, is another sign. You know, we kill off the Spike VGA Awards, that will be a bigger sign to me. Samuel L. Jackson must be hard up for money, because in one other brief news note, he's hosting the VGAs this year. How hard up for attention do you got to be if the VGAs come calling and you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
I just want him to say, I hope there's no goddamn, or what is that? ain't no more motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. If he says that would be fucking awesome. Make him make somebody dress up in an Ekans costume and go out there with him. That would be fucking awesome. They might actually get me to watch that train wreck of a disgusting mess. Speaking of being all hoity-toity, if they send him out there with Ekans. That's enough discussion topic. We'll give you away at the end of the show. You can contact us if you love marketing, hate marketing, want to tell us if you were one of those people that downloaded the 7-Eleven app thing from Halo 4 for your mobile device. Let's move on. It's time for Survivor Not G, the Antis, the Negatives, the Lloyd Boys. There's quite a crew. Oh, yeah, the Monkey. I secretly think the Monkey's behind it all, personally. They got a question for us, as they do every week without fail. Take it away, Survivor Not G and the crew.
WonderPod security intrusion. Online external message probe detected. System analysis detects sender G. Data analyzed. Prepare for audio playback.
Dot, 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 and furthermore. Now that it has been revealed that you two are nothing more than a pair of imposter humans posing as apes, you are doomed to spend the remainder of your snooping selves trapped in the recesses of this fine monkey sanctuary.
What? This is a free country. All we've done is break and enter. That's not a life sentence. And what's up with the Stephen Hawking voice?
Yeah, no doubt. He sounds like that Dr. Spatzel program that came with my Sound Blaster 16 sound card from my 386 back in the 90s.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, like the conversations from that website, extranormal.com. That was pretty popular a couple years ago.
Enough, your little friend. Vinny, as the half-retarded human calls him, is of no use to me. Bring him forward. Anti-Patman.
Eat a boot, monkey traitor.
Oh, Daddy! Hey, stop that, you gamer dick!
Hold up there, G.
You might have noticed we're the guys with the guns. Easer.
Just try it. Just give me a reason.
As you can see, this monkey is incapacitated due to some kind of internal disorder. He will not be able to procreate without the risk of spreading this. Ahem. Problem with the other monkeys.
I hear he had something placed in his anus. Add us on Facebook, WonderPod Online.
Escort the three of these undesirables back to their cells.
I'm just going to hit pause and...
The boss has authorized me, and totally not Andrew, to use absolute full force if necessary. Don't even think about any more monkey business.
That was another terrible injection of the obvious bad pen, Anti-Patman. Let's go grab some lunch.
Ha ha ha! Hey, Survivor Not G, I just sent the most of the last bit to the WPO crew. I'd imagine they'd like that part.
We're alive? Crap, I gotta do the catchphrase then. What's up, WonderPodOnline.com crew? Survivor Not G, acknowledging that he has signed in.
Chris Lloyd also, still here.
We should ask them a question about video games, maybe?
Is Diddy okay? He seems to be clutching his chest in pain. Alright, a question. How about this? If you're only allowed to play one game for the rest of your life, playing any other game would result in an instant death, what would it be?
Diddy, I think Chris's question was poised to the WPO crew.
Diddy is pointing at alternate universe multi-dimensional Evil G, actually.
Hello again, Flashbags. How are you enjoying your stay? I hope it's treating you well.
Hey, douchebag. You are the reason we're in here in the first place. You got us caught.
And outed us as humans in ape suits.
It was my pleasure, and I do it again without hesitation. What do you fools think that a Scooby-Doo schemed plan would actually work? You once again prove me the vastly superior version of your five-time removed cousin.
God, I hate this guy.
Oh, but wait, there's more. I've got a little secret for you. Who do you think planted that device in Diddy's anus? It was me!
So you're admitting to bestiality now?
It was all part of the plan. But there's an interesting catch-22 here. Perhaps you noticed that your camera cannot record images, only sound, Mr. Lloyd.
Go on. What are you getting at exactly?
Perhaps you both noticed that the boss sounds, a little suspiciously off for a human.
Like Soundwave of the original Decepticons of the Transformers?
Haha, good call. Or like Stephen Hawking.
I already made that quip about 2 minutes ago.
Right.
Silence, fools. The device I planted in your monkey's rectum not only is disrupting your camera tricks, if disabled, it will reveal the boss's true secret. But the device is actually a parasitic nanotechnology that is detaching and absorbing itself into the innards of Diddy. It can only be disabled one way. Diddy must die.
Signal complete.
One game only, fellas. I don't know. This is a tough choice, tough choices. There's so many games, so many great ones. I've been putting a little thought into this one and approaching it from a few different angles. You know, so it becomes, as far as I can see, you know, very simply, is it a game? Do I want to play my favorite game for the rest of my life, because, or else I'll die? Or do I want to play this one that'll last me a long time before I die? So if I'm going to go the path of my favorite game, it might be something like Link to the Past or Super Mario World, but those are great games, or BioShock, something like that. They're great games, but you know they're very linear, and they're, you know, when they're done, your quest is finished. There's not much else to go on to. So then my mind goes to, you know, how about one of these, you know, 100-hour RPGs, you know, like kind of Fallout 3 or you know, Skyrim, something like that. And, you know, that's an option. But then my mind kind of went to another type of game that I'm not a part of. I haven't played very much. Is the MMO, and the MMO kind of allows you to have the opportunity to have a different experience every time you go on. You know, there's quests, and you can team up with people and venture around, explore. And with any luck, you know, the developers of said MMO will add expansions and give you new areas to explore all the time. And, you know, I don't know if a game like WoW will last forever, but it certainly would be the kind of thing that would last you a good long time. Now, that being said, I chatted with some friends about this, this question, and one of the interesting responses I got was Call of Duty. And as I thought about it, it kind of made a lot of sense, because, you know, my friend's opinion was that when you play Call of Duty, you play multiplayer, you're getting different things happen every time you play it. and you know, you're going in there and shooting up dudes and whatever, all that kind of stuff, but the experience is something that changes from game to game. You never play the same game twice. And so I think that's a valid argument as well. It kind of brought to mind the WonderPod favorite Left 4 Dead. That was one of those games that, even though you're playing the same level over and over, you never really played the same level. The experience you had changed every time. So it's a tough question. Which one do you go for? So I'm going to go the route, I think. If I had a Left 4 Dead game that had more than 4 levels, maybe that's what I would play, as long as I had 3 other survivors to work with. So how about you, Glace? What do you think?
I mean, my answer is going to be pretty obvious if you've listened to this podcast before. And going to this question, I mean, the obvious problem that you're dealing with is you have to choose a game that is going to have good replay value. Like John, you were mentioning a Super Mario World. I mean, I love that game, but if that was the only game I could play for the rest of my life, I honestly probably couldn't stand it after the 200th time I beat it. So for me, the game that I've gotten the most out of replaying it time and time again is obviously Minecraft. And that's just because the game is so varied in what you can do. I mean, from playing on the server with all my friends to, you know, just doing single player. And then you have creative mode where you can just build stuff and be artsy if you want to be. And also online, there are just so many different types of game modes and servers that people have created from the game itself. Things like, I mean, there have been like Call of Duty clones in Minecraft. There's RTSs in Minecraft. There's Capture the Flag in Minecraft. There's simulations in Minecraft. I mean, it's so encompassing what the game is that I don't think I'll ever really get tired of it. I mean, there may be times like this semester where I'll put it down for a while just because I felt like I've done everything, but then this winter I'm probably going to come back into it and get a whole another month out of it. That's things that I've never even thought I could have done before. So, I mean, for me, the obvious answer is definitely Minecraft.
Damn Butte thing again. I could be mean and just say for my answer, see the previous two answers. Cause I mean, it seriously is probably the top three, but if I had to narrow it down to one, as your question states, that's almost impossible for me because I hate to choose in the first place. And second, with video games, I mean, shit, what are you playing at that time when you're forced to make this choice? You know, I mean, it's so difficult. Minecraft is a good one because, like Glaze said, it ebbs and flows so much that, you know, you get kind of burn out and you get back. You burn out, you get back. I was burnt out on the multiplayer stuff. Glaze Nader started his Cathedral, went over there, down playing Worm Online. So, but I'm going to kind of go cheesy and say what John said, in an MMO. And believe me, if you were left with no other choice, even somebody that doesn't like MMOs could find value or fun in it, in the right one. WoW is, at this point, probably is a bad example because it's been surpassed feature-wise by a lot of other ones, including Guild Wars 2, including Rift, including you know, the whole one I'm playing, Worm Online. I mean, you know, and Minecraft. Because once you add a community or a humanistic element to it, that evolves the gameplay, sometimes in a bad way, sometimes in a good way. I would shy away personally from saying an FPS like John was talking about, even one that we had as many nights of fun with as like Left 4 Dead, because I just get burnt out permanently on that. It's kind of, to a certain extent, why I don't feel a lot of the FPSs that came out this year were worth $60 to me. Because it's like, a month, maybe 2 months of multiplayer and decent to above average single player. I'll pass. You know, I mean, it's really kind of what it came down to for me, at least this year. And of course, every year is different. But if given no alternative, I'd have to say an MMO. Most likely right now, if it was today, if the gun was to my head, it'd be warm online. And the way that's been going, I'd probably be quite happy. Because no kidding, there are people that I play with that have been playing that damn game since 2008 and are still just as happy as clams in it today. And they play other games, too, is the even stranger part. So there you go, guys. Appreciate the question. Look forward to your question next week and the following weeks after that. Till the end of the year. Before we move on, there's something I do every year, and I'm going to do it again this year. I'm actually starting a little later because I'm sure I annoy the crap out of the audience with this, but it's the holidays. As you know, gamers a lot of times are seen as lazy, are seen as slugs, are seen as basement dwellers, and so on and so forth. But the good news is that's not always the case. You guys have heard me talk about the charity Child's Play before, so I just kind of gonna remind slash nag you that Child's Play's out there. The Desert Bus for Hope guys that play that god awful game Desert Bus, you can donate to them. You could buy a Humble Bundle. There's a Humble Bundle out that, while some of the snobbistas sneered at it, there's a THQ Humble Bundle right now where you can get Saints Row the Third and a bunch of other games that I can't remember because I refuse to freaking minimize Skype and go look. Metro 2033 that John's been talking about, and there's a couple others. That it's basically name your own price, you know, and it's an awesome deal, even if it is not indie necessarily. But a lot of those proceeds go to Child's Play. There's so many things that our fellow gamers are doing, and to me, it's important that I speak about this because this is people helping people. Something that I find to be the most value. There's no political schmuckery involved. There's no, you know, self-absorbed and self-important crapola. This is just people helping people. And, of course, Child's Play is the biggest one. The Humble Bundle is another way. You have local stuff. Hey, if you can afford to play video games, you can afford to give a few bucks. That's all I'm saying. No political shit behind it. None of that. It's just, hey, you got a couple bucks? Even I can give a couple bucks, and do. I bought Humble Bundles all year and haven't played half of them. I don't look at it as a tax write-off. I'm not quite that sinister or that clever, but I do look at it as at least I donated to charity because I haven't played half the games in them. So, rant over. I may do it one more time. I may annoy you one more time with it before the end of the year, but because it's important to me, and I think it's cool that gamers are helping. It gives our you know, our brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever the hell you want to call it a little more respectability. Okay, first topic out of the gate, now that I'm done babbling on and ranting and raving, the headline is GOG Windows 8 support is now official. Some 430 games fixed, tested, and reported to be working. Well, so good old Games, now called GOG, has seemed to figure out the mysteries of the evil Windows 8. And yet, Valve can't. They're running to Linux, which we all know is such a great and stable platform. Listen to the sarcasm, folks. But good old Games, who also sells shit DRM-free, which Valve does not. I think the anti-Windows 8 Windows 8 crowd probably didn't like hearing this too much. And I have no problem with saying I'm still a whore to Valve. I'll give my money hand over fist. I just think they're being dumbasses about this. Gabe Newell specifically. So, neither of you gentlemen use good old Games. I do believe in the WPO crew. I'm probably the sole user. There might be one other. What was your reaction to this, given some of the hysteria that has gone on prior to and after Windows 8's launch? Glacinator, let's start with you.
I mean, honestly, I'm not really that surprised. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised, but I mean, being a Mac user, you know, I am frustrated with the lack of games, and there's no way that Windows 8 was going to be as much of a catastrophe as gaming can be on a Mac. So, I mean, there was definitely overreactions from everyone, from Notch to Gabe Newell as well. So, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest.
Oh, hey. If you think I'm denying for a second also, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and verbalize it just in case people need that, that I'm not doing this as a selfish up yours piece on our show. Duh. Okay, John, what was your reaction to this? Just got to put it out there in case, you know, the dents need it verbalized for them. Save me. What was your fucking reaction before I say anything else?
My reaction was good for them that they did that and put it out. And yeah, it makes me question some of the motives behind, you know, comments like you said by Gabe and others. I mean, it's really good to see and makes you wonder, you know, there's something else going on underneath the surface that, you know, we just don't know about, I think.
Well, and I should separate, or I should say we should separate Notch and Newell. There's who the fuck knows what goes on in Gabe Newell's head sometimes. The man is brilliant, but with brilliant comes insanity at times. Notch, it's the, oh my God, I'm rich as shit, need to feel like I'm still a little indie internally. That is really how that plays to me. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, the success Minecraft has had has to be beyond his wildest imagination. And, you know, and so as I've made barbs at him before about, it's really hard to be indie and part of the indie scene when your damn office is so opulent, that kind of stuff. I think it's an internal thing with Notch, trying to keep the street cred up. Newell, I think he's just batshit crazy. He doesn't like something, he blabs off about it, and then 2 years later, it's, oh, love me, we, you know, it's like I never said this shit, you know. Notch more, I think personally, Notch is more annoyed me than Newell. Newell, it's like, oh, great, here he goes again, you know, it's like, oh, 2 years from now, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. But the Linux users are hopeful, and as much as I like bashing them, if it makes them hopeful, I've been seeing screenshots all over my Google Plus page about Linux, Steam on Linux. It's got 3 games total, but Steam on Linux, it's got less games than the Mac version does.
Yeah. I love how developers have to have cred now. Like, we're like talking about 90s grunge bands here. It's just hilarious to me.
But am I making any sense to you? Does that seem like something that's plausible, Glacinator, given how his whole story has unfolded? Does that seem like it might be something that's...
Yeah, totally. I mean, he doesn't want to become obsolete, so, you know, he has to make it seem like he has something worth saying. So
can't you just be your fucking self? You know, again, it's like we were talking about in the marketing story that caused fubub in the... you know, among the people who are trying to justify journalism degrees by bashing on other less professional journalists. Can't you just be yourself? And yep, I made a shit ton of money, but guess what? I'm still the same guy I was when I was coding in my fucking basement in Sweden. That's the thing that doesn't make any damn sense to me. Because I've said over and over again, and the chances of this, you have a better chance of being hit by a meteor. Let me say that up front. But if this show ever became some ginormous success, got picked up by some humongous website, or whatever else has to happen to make things like that, I got news for you, folks. I'm still going to be the same cursing dumbass that I am now, or it's not going to happen. Because that's the thing. I just don't see a point. But, yeah, who knows? Anyways, I think I've got my up yours out of me for the moment. So, let's move on. This story will probably tickle John a little bit, and that's the reason I brought it up. It'll give John something to chuckle at, maybe, but he'll definitely be able to talk about it. For those of you that don't know, PlanetSide 2 is a shooter by Sony Online Entertainment. It's essentially an MMO shooter. I played the original PlanetSide a little bit. It was a little too space combat-y, space opera for me before there was Halo, or right at the original Halo. So I never really got that into it. But according to this, modding is not welcome in PlanetSide 2. No exceptions. You will be banned. And they posted this on their forums. And the reason they're doing that is because they are they're claiming that clients that just mod the game are indistinguishable from various hacks that allow people to cheat. So Sony, whose ass is probably still red raw from the PlayStation debacle, has just decided you all are it all has to go. We're not opening that fucking Pandora's box again. And that's where I turn to you first, John. Is that what this kind of feels like to you? It's like, no, we're not going down that road.
Yeah, I actually didn't think about it in that perspective. That's pretty good. It could be that they don't want anybody on the inside at all finding any kind of back door that they could sneak into. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
What was your other thought before I brought that up, or did you have one about this?
Just the fact that they're clamping down on cheating in general. I thought you were going to get into a cheating discussion, but yeah, the actual hacking in and sneaking around makes a lot more sense in terms of something worth talking about.
I'm going to let you and the audience in on a little piece of how the insanity that is me works. When I see a headline, if a sentence pops into my head, like that's all I need to be able to drivel all this shit out. I know it's nuts or not, depending on your point of view. I don't care. And the headline I saw was gunshy and butthurt. I mean, that's what popped through my head when I saw just the headline. I didn't even think about the cheating aspect because, like, Clay Snyder's famous for saying cheaters going to cheat and hackers going to hack. But when I saw the modding not welcome in Planet Side 2, I went, oh, SOE's a little gunshy and they're a little concerned. Glazenator, what were your thoughts on this, or were you about the same as us?
Well, this actually hits pretty close to home as someone that doesn't necessarily host, but is, I guess, the overlord of a server, of a game server. And for the Minecraft server, I had to make the decision that there are no mods, no hacks whatsoever, and that I want to keep it as vanilla as possible. And I understand that there are mods out there that make the game function better, that, you know, there are things that you can add that make the game more fun, but there comes a point where if you say, okay, we'll add this, then why can't we add this? Where it just becomes so complicated in trying to pick and choose that it's just easier just to say no to everything. And I don't like to say no, but it just keeps everything simple and it makes sure that stuff doesn't go to crap like it could go to crap. So, I mean, I totally understand where this company's coming from.
You know, it's funny. I'm having the same epiphany you did 30 seconds ago, John, or just about a different subject. I never thought of that aspect because being a born and bred PC gamer, modding's always been part of it. I've run a few mods on my personal, single player Minecraft. Some of them were good, some of them were junk. But that's the trouble that Glacinator's talking about. You can get somebody that loves to death a mod for Minecraft, thinks it'll be great for the multiplayer server, and then sends the whole thing in the toilet. You know, so in fact, Glace, you and your buddy's decision to keep it vanilla was no surprise to me. I think I've said this before. And also, I totally agreed with it. Because there's just, as much fun as it could be, there's just something about Minecraft that it's unstable enough on its own. And sometimes experimenting with mods, when you're experimenting with mods by yourself on PC, it's okay, because when it crashes your PC, you can choose and pick and choose which ones you want to tinker with. When it's a whole group of people, that's a little much dicier. I'm curious now whether maybe Glacinator's theory plays into it, but I sincerely think it's the leftover backlash or butthurt feelings from the PlayStation 3 debacle. But the thing is SOE's probably going to have to cave at some point, because the hardcore PC gamers, a lot of whom I bet are playing Planet Side 2, aren't gonna tolerate it. And they at least a lot of them profess to be people who do not play those kiddie consoles, and they're not gonna give two screaming shits about what happened to the PlayStation 3. I honestly think most of them are full of shit, and their houses are just as filled with consoles as the rest of us. But it's interesting. We got actually three perspectives out of this that that I never would have thought. A sentence or a blurb pops into my head. If it sounds interesting, we go with it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That's the fun of doing this show live and ad-libbed every week. Okay, and the final one. This is one I have a really hard time with, and it's why I said it. Or it's why I chose to do it. Excuse me. I have a hard time with it, A, because I'm tired of zombies. B, because I like The Walking Dead, but the TV shows kind of went, eh, for me. And C, I don't trust Activision. So when Robert Kirkman, the developer of The Walking Dead, sounds excited about an Activision FPS, I just cringe. Especially as good as the Telltale EPs of the franchise have been. I put this question to you, gentlemen. I cringe. I'm seeing Left 4 Dead knockoff that's not as good, just with Walking Dead, you know, universe. I'm seeing nothing good possible coming out of this except the cash grab, which, by all means, if Mr. Kirkman wants to do that and other people want to pay for it, fair enough. Am I wrong here? Are you seeing anything that has good potential out of a Walking Dead FPS game? John, let's start with you.
It's tough to say. So much of The Walking Dead that appeals to me is the tension and the choices and things having consequences, and you know, and all the while you're trying to survive. Like, so much, you know, certainly in the show and in the comic books, you know, lots of zombies get shot, but you know, there's also the interaction with the other, you know, people that are around who are just as dangerous because they have guns too. So I think this, from a gameplay perspective, yeah, there might be there's something there, but I'm not sure how it might grab you and draw you into a story as much, because I've only played episode one of the other game, the adventure game, but it's there's a lot of talking, and Walking Dead does have a lot of talking, a lot of character development, and how much you can dedicate to that in a first-person shooter, I'm not sure.
So, essentially, if I boil that all down for you, you sound just as goddamn leery about Activision fingering this as I do.
Yeah.
It's what I'm getting from you. At least that's the sense I'm getting from you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they really have to decide on a way to enhance the first-person shooter experience. Like for example, how back to Bioshock, like how Bioshock just added so many layers on top of a shooter. You know what I mean? And still tell a story and have that tension and ambiance and you know.
Glacinator, you've played more of the Walking Dead EPs, all that.
Mm-hmm.
You leery of this? What's your take?
I'm going to be pretty harsh here, and I think that this is a terrible idea. pretty much for the reasons that John just proposed. And I've been watching, catching up on The Walking Dead, a TV show, this past week. And the last three episodes, I maybe saw three zombies in total out of like the whole 120 minutes that I watched. And I think that really says a lot for the show and for just the idea of the whole franchise itself. And that the scary part about a post-apocalyptic zombie world is not necessarily the zombies, but you know, everything else that goes with it, you know, the human connections that can go crazy and how people can react towards each other. So, you know, the humans can be more scary than the zombies. You're not really shooting anyone, you know, it's just having to deal with those issues. And so I think that the Telltale games really do a good job of trying to address those more, I guess, moral and social issues, more so than just, oh my goodness, there's a zombie, let's shoot him in the face. I mean, there are quick time events in the game, but other than that, you're not really shooting anything besides just clicking on certain things. So I don't think an FPS is suited for what The Walking Dead tells as a story at all.
Yeah, like I said, I've caught up on this season, and I've missed some things, but I'm not the type that needs to see every last episode to feel fulfilled. Thankfully for me, I was hesitant to call it a bad idea. I was trying to be nice, but Activision doesn't own a fucking studio that could do a humanistic first-person shooter. Sorry. Maybe Irrational. Maybe the BioShock developer. We'll have to see after the BioShock Infinite comes out as many issues as it's had. But, yeah, I just don't see this being a good idea either, to be quite honest. And I thought you guys might share that sentiment with me, but it's one again a case of that, ooh, let's talk about this and see if maybe I'm missing something here. But, yeah, I think I'll probably give it a distinct pass if it comes to pass. Oh, that's enough. I think I need food and coffee. So let me tell you how you can reach us, among other things. We have social media. You can find out everything you want to know and some things you didn't about this podcast, including how to get it at our social media stuff. First off, Facebook, WonderPod Online. Simple as that. We also have a website. That's right, we have one social media thing. We also have a website, WonderPodOnline.com. I post this podcast there, as well as the links to where the podcast is hosted, the iTunes, all that stuff. There's an embedded player in case you don't want to download anything. Oh, what else do I feel like talking about this week? Because I really hate doing this part. YouTube channels. We have YouTube channels, some under WonderPod Online, some under Glacinators, various names, which are all the same, and some under 36Wii. If none of that works for you, we also have an old-fashioned email address where I can give this information to you again slower if you'd like. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com, wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @wonderpodonline. Or you can follow me on Twitter, @yourownrisk, @ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter,
@Quetzalcoatl, @John Keogh, sorry.
Like, I'm glad you made a joke, because I was running out of breath. Until episode 139, I am Bruce McGee. I'm off to hunt the Wily coffee bean. See you later, people.
Cheers.
I am now accepting my fate in this cursed stairwell that is now my tomb. So, nice knowing you all.